sun's coming up on the open road. Better buckle up, cause it's time to roll. Down Interstate 171 we go, loud and clear, coast to coast. Dave Nemo's on XM Radio.
Good morning, welcome back to the Dave Nemo Show. You got Truck and Tim sitting in for Dave as he is out on special assignment. We're rolling along on this rock and roll Friday, TGIF. Welcome back to the show, and if you're just joining us for the first time, we really appreciate you tuning us in. Boy, I have a studio full of people, great people. We have Joe Job, Executive Director of the National Biodiesel Board, and he has with him his entourage, including Michael Peterson. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning, Tim.
Man, it's great. Is your mic on there, Joe?
I don't know.
It is.
Can you hear me? All right.
I can hear you.
All right. Fantastic. Yes, thank you for having us.
Sure, sure. Well, tell us what you're going to be talking about today.
Well, we're here to support Michael. Michael's having the New Holland Celebrity Tractor Race on Sunday, that kind of an annual thing that he does for charity, and accesses his network of celebrities, me not being one of them, although he lets me drive in the
Wait a minute. They say celebrity. What that means is when you bore people at a party, they think it's their fault.
Is that what that is?
That's what that means. Yeah. And Joe's good at that.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. Somebody asked me for an autograph. I just suspect they're just trying to make me late for something.
Oh, good.
Anyway, so we're here to support Michael in that. It's a good cause for charity, and it's a good activity that New Holland does every year, and all the celebrities name their charity and race a obstacle course, a diesel compact tractor running on biodiesel.
Wow.
Homegrown renewable.
That's
biodiesel.
Nice.
And all of the celebrities sign the tractor, and it's auctioned off, and it goes to the winner's charity.
Yeah. Well, with 2 years now, I think we have auctioned the tractor off at the National FFA Youth Convention in Indianapolis, and half the proceeds go to FFA, and the other half go to the charity of the winner's choice.
I see.
And, you know, my good friend Gene Hemphill from New Holland is a great saying. He says, celebrity, but not just for celebrity's sake. And
okay.
I love charity events like this, because we're leveraging celebrity to bring attention to a couple of causes. Number one, the charities that we serve. And number two, the whole biodiesel movement. This is an opportunity to help connect the dots on some natural relationships between country music, agriculture, and energy.
That is absolutely great. You know, by the way, I like that hat you got on.
Oh, thank
that
you very
cowboy.
Much.
That's a mean looking hat.
Well, you know, hats are like glasses. If you wear the wrong ones, you look like a dork.
Yeah,
so
you sure do.
Try to find the right hat.
As a matter of fact, I'm just between now and the end of the show, I'm going to have to see if I can bribe that from you.
Well, I would say I'd arm wrestle you, but you look like you've been hitting the gym, so I think I'll pass.
Yeah, I was going to throw that out on the table. Maybe we could arm wrestle, you know.
Throw down, man. Come on.
Hey, you know, you two have, both of you have guitars, you're going to serenade us a little bit?
Well, yeah, the first time I met Joe was at the National Biodiesel Convention 2 Super Bowls ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Congressman Peterson and his band. I don't know what they call themselves, the Biodiesel Cowboys.
The Second Amendment.
The Second Amendment.
The Second Amendment.
Congressmen. Yeah, all congressmen.
Is
and
that
they
right?
played at the National Biodiesel Convention. They were the entertainment on the opening night.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Joe is up there playing with him. And I thought, man, this guy's got talent, multi-talent. So I twisted his arm a little bit, speaking arm wrestling. And I brought a guitar today. And I said, dude, you got to sing. You got to throw down a little. So he's got a great Buffett tune, I think, sitting there.
We talked about that. If you want to. You want to play a little music?
Play a little. And before we get started on that, tell us a little bit about your musical history, your music history.
How did you
get started?
Well, I got a guitar for Christmas when I was 11 years old, and my little brother got a banjo, and so we just kind of started playing music together. You know, starting out with a lot of you know, and just sitting around entertaining each other with Buck and Roy routine. And my older brother played drums, and my mom was musical all her life and played the bass and the piano, and my dad played the harmonica, and we started up a little band, and mostly a little gospel band playing at churches. And my my brother, you know, has remained a professional musician all of his life, but I've kind of let it go, just play for fun, and you know, opportunity to play with greats like Michael is, boy, it's a real treat.
Yeah, I bet it is. I bet it is.
Oh, and I would say we do have a band. My brother and I still have a band. I'll give him a plug. It's called Glass Meatball. It's me. Glass Meatball.
Wow, okay.
Glass Meatball. Make sure I don't put that in my spaghetti by mistake.
Well, actually, there's a story behind that, too, real quick. Levi, who's here with us today, he actually named the band. My cousin Bill and I were sitting in a Gretchen Wilson concert, and we decided to start a band and started talking about a name, and Levi was sitting between us, and he said, I got the name. It's Glass Meatball. We said, yeah,
that's perfect.
That's
all
it.
Right, Levi.
That's it. Yeah, Levi.
Go Levi.
Right on.
Yeah, he's
then,
quite the gentleman.
His sister asked him how he came up with that, and he said, well, I was thinking about it, and for the bad word that sounds like glass, I just said glass, and for a hole, I just said meatball. So
right. That's perfect.
That fit right in there, didn't it?
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So it's just me and my brother and my cousin in my cousin's basement, and we don't really like to leave the basement because we don't want to move all our stuff.
That's funny. That's like the old joke about the banjo player who played a New Year's Eve gig, and the guy liked him so much, he said, hey, will you guys come back next year? And he said, yeah, do you mind if we just leave our stuff?
that's,
you can't get another gig.
That's Glass Meatball.
I see that. I mean, you know when you're important, you're a VIP, when you travel around with your own photographer. I mean, your photographer is over here doing a great job. And make sure you let me know before you take a picture of me so that I can pose and get the good side, all right? I don't want the bad side out there. But, Joe, go ahead and let us hear it.
Yeah, all right.
What key are you going to play in, dude?
Well, let's try it in G. I mean, we kind of...
I'll put on my eyes here.
Talked
so
about
I can see.
This about 2 seconds. Are our guitars
go.
In tune? Sound like it. Well, I heard this song the other day and thought, you know, that'd be a good song to sing to Tim's listeners out there, truckers. Kind of like me and Michael, we travel all the time. You get a little bit of traveling blues, you get a little road weary, and I was just thinking about this, and it might be a good one.
Heading down. Is that a little low for you?
Headed down to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I've got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock. Honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent 4 lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back by my side. We'll get it on this next.
All right.
Yes, it's been quite a summer. Rent a cars and westbound train. And now you're off on vacation, darling. Darling, I love you so. That's the reason I just let you go. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent 4 lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back by my side. Hope you're enjoying the scenery. I know it's pretty up there. We can go hiking on Tuesday. With you, I'd walk anywhere. California has worn me quite thin. Just can't wait to see you again. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent 4 lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back by my side. I spent 4 lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back by my side.
Beautiful. Wonderful.
Very rough for just coming up with a song and trying to whip it out. But
hey, you did a great job. I mean, you know, Joe, we were talking about your playing, but, you know, I forgot to ask you about the singing. You didn't tell me that you sang, too, so...
Well, clearly, not very often.
Oh. But that's beautiful music. We have Joe Job in the house with us, along with Michael Peterson. We'll be taking phone calls at 615-292-6366. Also, if you can't get through, we will be receiving emails. You can email us at onair@davenemo.com.
It all adds up at Oakley. Oakley Trucking's base pay ranges from $1.02 to $1.09 per mile, loaded or empty. Plus, a weekly fuel surcharge. Plus, a 5 cent per loaded mile anniversary bonus, and that adds up to great things, like vacations, or maybe a new truck down payment. Simply put, dry bulk means more pay at Oakley, America's dry bulk hauler. Oakley, 888-945-1531. Do you own a Kenworth Aero Cab? Well, Grand Rock has an exhaust system that will replace the restrictive power and fuel-robbing reverse flow, you know, in and out the same end muffler. Now, this complete bolt-on kit uses Grand Rock's proven, patented QP muffler to increase your MPG and performance. You can go basic and reuse your existing 5-inch lower elbows, stacks, and the OE heat shield, or step up to the beautiful 7-inch straight chrome stacks. You choose. Remember, Grand Rock guarantees a minimum 3% gain in MPG or your money back. Nobody in the industry does this but Grand Rock. Grand Rock users have already saved over 2 million gallons of fuel. Dollar a gallon fuel ain't coming back. Every day you wait, you lose profit. Order your QP Aero system now. 800-496-6303.
Something About Sunday by Michael Peterson. He's in the house with us today.
Well, a whole lot of people like Saturday night, getting loud and crazy when it just feels right. I guess everybody loves to see it come. Just forget everything and go and have some fun. And the same goes for me. Oh, but lately, don't you know that lately, there's something about a Sunday morning breeze, church bells ringing, ringing in the sheaves, and the smell of the supper simmering on the stove. A little bit of both, sure good for the soul. Sitting on a swing with her head on the chest, giving any worries one day's rest. Suddenly everything's gonna be okay. There's something about a Sunday. Now that big bad Monday is bound to come. That old alarm clock's ringing and we up and run. Well, there's a whole lot of headaches that we get into. Everybody's wondering how to make it. Well, the same goes for me. Oh, but lately, don't you know that lately, yeah, something about a Sunday morning breeze, church bells ringing, ringing in the sheaves, and the smell of the supper simmering on the stove. little bit of both sure good for the soul. Sitting on a swing with her head on the chest, giving any worry just one day's rest. Suddenly everything's gonna be okay. Something about a Sunday. Sitting on a swing with her head on the chest, giving any worries one day's rest. Suddenly everything's gonna be okay. There's something about a Sunday. There's something about a Sunday.
Two minutes after the top of the hour, got Truck and Tim riding along with you on this Friday, beautiful TGIF Friday morning, Rock and Roll Friday. We have Michael Peterson in the house and also Joe Jobe, both joined us with their entourage. Again, welcome to the show, guys, and welcome back, listeners, those of you that are tuning in for the first time and also those that have been with us since 6 a.m. We're taking phone calls at 615-292-6366. Well, Joe, Michael, got anything else you want to talk about before we go to the phone lines?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about a redneck response to the environmental movement.
Okay.
I've been thinking about that. Well, you know, what would Jeff Foxworthy say about it?
Uh-huh.
So I've been, it's not a finished song yet, but I'm working on the scene.
Sounds good to me already. The music
disappearing
part.
Wetlands, animals and rivers, Al Gore and global warming, quiver. Total global devastation, about to eat your lunch before you go and get your panties in a bunch. Remember, there is something anyone can do. The future of the world depends on you. So thaw out some T-bones, fire up the Barbie, support wildlife, throw a party. Call all your rowdy friends and say this party's green. Heineken and Rolling Rock, you know what I mean. Break out the champagne and the Bacardi. Support wildlife, throw a party. Something like that, anyway.
Yeah,
right. Response to global warming. And without question, a serious, serious topic. And sometimes the funniest stuff is a lighthearted look at serious topics.
Yeah.
And alternative fuels is a huge, serious topic. I had a guy say to me the other day something I never thought of before. He said, you know, it's not really an oil company problem. He says it's strength of the dollar. That's mm-hmm. the problem. He said, you know, because you think about it, our dollar's been devalued to 50%. And if our dollar was still as strong as it was 10 years ago, our gas would be $2 a gallon.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a very complicated, serious, serious issue.
It is.
A lot of people are hurting. I mean, we've been in truck stops all over the South and the Southeast the last 4 months on this tour that we've been on. And, man, everywhere you go, the whole conversation is truckers and how in the world they're going to make it. A buddy of mine just gave up his truck, gave up his lease like 2 weeks ago because
mm-hmm.
he went out and did a very long run, came home, made $149 when he used to make $1,500, $1,600 on the same run.
On the same run, yeah.
So it's a very tough topic and nice to have, you know. So here's my support wildlife, throw a party.
Throw a party.
So, you know. But that's a serious, serious topic, and it's been fun for me as an artist to have a chance to spend time with people in the serious pursuit of answers
mm-hmm.
for the energy crisis. Not just people at Joe's level, you know, as the executive director of the National Biodiesel Board. I mean, obviously an oversight guy or gentleman like Gene Hemphill from New Holland.
Right.
New Holland, the first company in the world to warrant their engines, all of their original engines for B100
B100
and B85 prior to that. Mm-hmm. But also students.
Mm-hmm.
We were at the National Biodiesel Convention in Orlando in January, And I was just so pleasantly surprised by the number of high school students and science and math, you know, science math programs
right.
that are starting to focus their attention on the whole energy crisis. And it reminded me of Thomas Friedman's comment in mm-hmm. the book, The World is Flat. He said, this energy crisis may just well be this generation's opportunity, sort of at the moon landing. You know, something that inspires a generation to get plugged into science and math in a way that will create the future for our nation. So as tough as it is, there's also some positive things that are being born out of it. So innovation, and New Holland, of course, is leading the way on that.
Yeah, that's true.
When you're talking about the students, you know, the students at that convention, we had a booth there for the biodiesel pack.
And they were doing it with the bicycles.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're powering it with their bicycles, which is very cool.
And they came over to the PAC booth where they were trying to raise money. We were trying to raise money for political action for biodiesel and, you know, trying to get some people to write some checks so we could influence advocacy in Washington and public policy. And these students dug down in their pockets and scrounged together. The students scrounged together
$10.
That's
amazing.
You know, and said, you know, here, however this will help. You know,
yeah.
And it was pretty cool.
And the sentiment, the spirit behind it is worth more than the money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, here's the reality is that, you know, I think it was Abraham Lincoln said, you know, in the middle of the Civil War, he said he ended up on his knees because there was nowhere else to go.
Nowhere else to go, yeah,
you know, and on some level, one of the great things about America has always been if you back us into a corner, we come out fighting.
We certainly do. We always come out on top.
And I believe, you know, that... technology is a funny thing. You remember when there was the big battle between the movie industry and the home movie industry?
Mm-hmm.
VHS and Beta and all that.
Right.
And everybody was going, oh my goodness, or cable. The whole cable thing is going to destroy. Even cable radio. I mean, people are always afraid when things start to threaten the standard, you know, mm-hmm. that we have. And yet somehow we've emerged out of those technological growth spots that frighten a lot of people. With incredible solutions. I just have to believe that we find ways to endure and support each other and pull together.
And we will come out on top of this.
And have advocacy groups like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're gonna come out of this.
Absolutely.
You know, talking about technology, I struggle with technology. I'm still trying to figure out how to rewind my DVDs. But, you know, one of the things, Michael, you're absolutely right. One of the things that is a positive out of this is that people are starting to, the public, the American public is finally starting to get serious about energy and take it seriously and impact their choices uh-huh. and impact their choices in policy and politics. Mm-hmm. You know, energy was a major issue in all three of the campaigns of the major candidates. You know, carbon is the revolution that's coming.
Hold that thought. We're going to have to break for the bottom of the hour, but drivers, stay tuned. The ones that are holding, please hold on. We'll be back with you after this break. Got Joe Job and also Michael Peterson in the house with us. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back to the show. Riding along with Truck and Tim. Sitting in for Dave Nemours. He's been on special assignment this week. He will be back in here with you on Monday. We're sitting in here with our great friends, Michael Peterson and Joe Job, in the house with us. And they have their whole entourage, so we're feeling good. We're feeling just as important as they are right now.
Yeah, you're very nice. Thank you.
Dave's on special assignment. Does that mean he's, you know, under a tiki hut with an umbrella drink, or
I will never tell.
Okay.
Well, Joe, you know, we had to abruptly cut you off to get to the bottom of the hour break. So come back in and fill us in. And listeners, the ones that are on hold, we got you covered. Hang on in there, and we're going to be getting to the calls in just a little bit. We know that you guys want to talk to these two fine gentlemen. So, Joe, go ahead and finish telling us what you were talking about.
Well, what I was saying is energy is becoming a part of it's becoming a part of, a big part of the public policy discourse, and all of the, we are in a presidential election year and all of the candidates are talking about energy, and it is very clear that reduction of carbon is going to be a very big part of energy policy going forward. Corporate sustainability programs are already starting to take a foothold, and there are a lot of freight customers out there that are looking at ways that they want to reduce their carbon footprint through the hauling of their freight.
Right.
Biodiesel is an excellent way of doing that, and I think it's an opportunity for the trucking industry. We have always, anytime I've been on Dave's show or Bill Mack's show or talking to truckers, one of the very first questions that we get is, well, you know, biodiesel's a fine thing, but how do I get it? And we always have to apologize and say, you know, it is a little tough to find. It's a little harder to get, and you got to ask your truck stops for it. You know, a lot of trucking companies use fuel cards, and, you know, can I buy it with my fuel card? And so we have launched through biotrucker.com. We created a biodiesel website specifically for truckers. There's all kinds of things specifically geared for drivers, and including maps of retail distributions that offer biodiesel blends. And we've just launched with Fleet One. Fleet One's a fuel card company right here, headquartered right here in Nashville. We've launched the BioTrucker fuel card, and what that offers, it's accepted at 5,000 truck stops.
Wow.
270 of which offer biodiesel blends. You get the cash price and no transaction fee. I mean, most people are familiar with Fleet One, so
right.
So it's the great quality that you get with Fleet One. Wow. But we're also working with Fleet One to get more truck stops to offer biodiesel blends.
And you already have 5,000 truck stops, is that correct?
Well, 5,000 truck stops
with Fleet One.
Offer Fleet One. So we're tapping into that Fleet One network with that partnership.
Right.
Now there are 270 truck stops in 30 states that offer biodiesel blends that will accept that card, and you also get the cash price with that card and no transaction fee.
That's incredible. That's great.
Would you say that BioTrucker is kind of like the no-spin zone?
Absolutely.
For information about alternative fuels and this whole issue?
Absolutely. My staff back in the National Biodiesel Board headquarters, I know they're listening, Tom Vary and Scott Tremaine. They developed that program because they head up the National Education Program and the National Biodiesel Foundation to educate the trucking industry, work with the trucking industry on biodiesel, and built that website specifically to get the information to the drivers out there.
I see.
Well, I guess you could say the truck stops here.
I like that. I like that.
Got one you could whip up there?
He's got. I see that songwriting going around in his head.
John Coggan wrote this song called "The Truck Stops Here," and I'm thinking, you know, there's so much information these days, and a lot of what I hear on people's lips is just what they get from one or two clicks on the internet. You know, and we have a bunch of information that's one click deep.
We do.
And so for me, as a consumer and as a concerned person, a concerned American, I want to get the truth. What is the truth? And I know that they really, with biotrucker.com, it's a place you can go to get it without the spin.
There you go. Let's go to the phone line, gentlemen. We have Rich in Texas that has been patiently waiting. Good morning, Rich. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, y'all. First off, I want to say thanks for everything each and every one of you are doing. I'm concerned. I love biodiesel, and Chat Brothers is a chain of truck stops up, you know, from the Midwest out to the West, and they carry biodiesel, and I have to take my hat off to Illinois for requiring their fuel stops to carry 11%. I stopped in York, Nebraska. I have a dedicated run, and they used to carry B20. And I asked if they still carried bile, and they said, yeah, but it's only a 5% blend. I said, well, why is this? They said, well, the cost of the biodiesel is going up. And I said, well, I don't, you know, this doesn't make sense to me because it has nothing to do with the cost of oil. I understand what the cost in making it, transporting it, all of this, but she was saying that the cost is going up and up, and it, she said that it wouldn't be beneficial for them to carry a B20 blend. And I'm just wondering if the I guess it would be the speculators for the crops, like speculators for the oil. I'm just wondering if they're, causing the price of the biodiesel to shoot up. What's your take on that, Joe?
Yeah, that is an excellent question and an excellent observation, and all very accurate and factual, unfortunately. There's a whole confluence of factors that's going on in the equities markets and the agricultural markets and the energy markets. And to try to boil it down, because of the volatility in the energy markets and the volatility in the stock market jitters, there's been a real retreat to the commodities markets in general, especially the energy markets, but also the agricultural markets. And so ag commodities, corn, soybeans, and all of those things have all gone up dramatically because of futures prices in the commodities markets. And so there's been a lot of volatility there, and so unfortunately those costs have gone up, and therefore the cost of biodiesel has gone up.
Is it kind of good news, bad news?
It is good news, bad news.
Because good news for the farmers, because, prices of commodities are up, but the bad news is it's affecting fuel costs. So what are there any brilliant people thinking about strategies for how to balance that out?
Well, yeah, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, when I was thinking about this, but it's actually not... the money's not being passed on to the farmer. It's staying in the commodities. The farmer really doesn't get much money out of it. It's essentially like a broker. Okay, the broker makes good money, and they're the middleman, and the farmer doesn't really see much of that money come back into their pocket.
Well, yes and no. That has kind of been historically the case, but over the last, especially over the last couple of years, and particularly in the last year, the price for whole soybeans, for example, soybeans being the primary oilseed commodity crop in the United States. You can make biodiesel out of any. Animal fat or vegetable oil, recycled cooking oil, and other alternative feedstocks, which I want to talk about here in just a second. It has really caused the grain elevator price of soybeans to go up, and they're at historic high prices, and that really is the price that the farmer's getting. Now, having said that, the farmer is dealing with a whole lot of other struggles, including high energy prices, high cash rent prices. All of those things are going up, but it is benefiting the farmer, and it is stimulating the farm economies and rural development, and all of those things are really good. The other positive is that because of the high the high vegetable oil prices, that is now stimulating more investment, significant investment in plant science research that's going to result in higher yields for soybeans, higher oil content for soybeans, as well as increased oilseed acres, research on arid variety crops that can be grown in currently non-productive lands in the upper plains and the southwest. It's causing a number of things in agriculture, such as replacement of oilseed acres for currently what was tobacco acres in the
There's more people growing it.
Right. Agriculture is slow to move, but it is powerful to respond. And American agriculture and America's farmers can do absolutely phenomenal things. And combine that with agricultural technology and technology like, for example, long-term technology that's coming online to develop algae as a source of oil long-term could provide a very significant volume of homegrown renewable fuel.
That's amazing. Rick, we really appreciate your call. Thank you so much and hope that helped you out. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We have Mighty Midget. Mighty Midget is joining us from Illinois. Good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess I've got a pretty redundant question, and also I'm a numbers cruncher. I love to crunch numbers.
That's great. That's what it takes, you know.
So to be specific, a few years ago, we used to be able to buy diesel fuel. 169 gallons would cost you right around $163. And I've seen it as low as $123 if you bought it in Georgia, back when fuel was around 76 cents a gallon, 76.9. Now the same 169 gallons is going to cost you $690. My redundant question is, what kind of explanation is there for such a high price jump like that?
Mighty Midget, that's a great question. I appreciate the call. I've been working on biodiesel, working for the National Biodiesel Board for 11 years this month. When I started, spot wholesale price of diesel fuel, pre-tax wholesale bulk wholesale price was 40 cents a gallon, and we were working with specialty chemical companies to manufacture biodiesel, and I remember paying somewhere like $6 a gallon for biodiesel for B100 to do testing and research. And 1998, a barrel of oil hit, it was $12 a barrel. Now it's up to $120 a barrel. So in a decade, it has increased, the price of a barrel of oil has increased 1,000%. Meanwhile, biodiesel has become more competitive as there's been more plants come online and all of those things. So I can't give you a simplistic explanation other than demand has gone up, speculation has gone up. India and China are improving their economies, developing their economies. They're starting to consume more like Americans are, and so demand is dramatically increasing, as is speculation.
I want to ask you something, Joe. Are you saying there's no simple answer? Because I want there to be a simple answer. Just tell me why it is. But it sounds like it's not that simple.
No, I always search for that.
Isn't there somebody
simplistic...
we can just blame?
Yeah.
You know, it's their fault?
Yeah. Well,
no, I guess not.
That would be the simplest way, right?
Yeah, so that's what we look for, you know. Tell me why it's gone up 1,000%. Well, golly, it seems like even the experts can't agree.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So it's tough. It's tough to know what the truth is about that.
It really is. And, you know, we just have to do what we can to conserve and to make our bottom line more profitable. Well, we're going to have to pause for a quick break, but we certainly appreciate all the calls. And just hang in there, JR and Flag Waver. We'll be back with you shortly.
In today's business world, a lot of meetings are done long distance, and trucking certainly is a long-distance world. But every once in a while, you need a face-to-face. And that's why the folks at Oakley Trucking would love for you to drop by the offices in Little Rock. Sure, they'd like to get a look at you and your truck, and you'd like to get a look at them. But mostly, you both will have a chance to get to know one another. talk eye to eye, and shake on it. That's the Oakley way. Oakley, America's dry bulk hauler. 888-945-1531. After Tom put Centromatics on his drives and his 50-foot step deck, here's what happened.
When Hurricane Rita was headed to southeast Texas, I went home to evacuate my family, and we packed up everything my wife informed me we'd be taking with us, loaded them on the trailer, and we left. And a little later, as we're going along the highway, she looks over and says, "What have you done to this truck? This thing rides better than my car."
Need I say more? Centromatic, 800-523-8473. 800-523-8473.
All right, good morning. Welcome back. You're listening to Michael Peterson and also Joe Joby. We're going to be going back to the phone lines, and we've got had some great callers, some great questions, so we're going to go back to the phone lines. We have J.R., who is calling us from the state of Alabama. Good morning, J.R. How in the world are you?
Good morning. I was going to ask them about this biodiesel. That's like from corn, isn't it?
Well, it is from oil. So biodiesel is to diesel fuel kind of what ethanol is to gasoline. Ethanol is an alcohol, and biodiesel is from an oil source, vegetable oil or animal fat. It's processed into a pure fuel by removing the glycerin, and it can be blended at any blend level with diesel fuel because it's very chemically similar to diesel fuel. It has the same horsepower and energy content, has high cetane, high lubricity, low sulfur. It's actually a premium, has premium diesel characteristics, but it's an oil. So corn doesn't have much oil content in it. It's only about 4% oil content. Soybeans are the primary oil seed crop that we grow here in this country. It's more like 20%.
Yeah. I had heard a guy say on XM, one of these talk shows, that if you took every acre in the United States available for farming and planted it, it wouldn't even make a dent, maybe like 5% or less.
Well, it depends on your perspective. It depends on what your perspective of a dent is. It is true that if you used all of the agricultural resources that we have currently available, we would not be able to replace all of our petroleum consumption. But that argument is a little bit annoying to me because it's like saying if you can't do everything, you shouldn't do anything. What biofuels offer, they are a liquid fuel that are available today. It is the only thing that is available today that we can do to supplement our fuel supply. And 5%, let's talk about 5% for just a second. If we could replace 5% of our diesel fuel consumption with homegrown, domestic, renewable biodiesel, what would that mean? Well, that would be the equivalent of the same amount of diesel fuel that we refine every year from all of the crude oil we currently import from the nation of Iraq. So if we could, with 5%, replace all of the diesel fuel that we are refining from Iraqi crude, that would significantly improve our energy security, and we could ramp up from there, and with additional feedstocks and future feedstocks and future technologies, we can grow that volume, and we're not there yet, but that is that's actually our vision to displace 5%.
And it seems like a lot of the conversations around biofuels have to do with agriculture in the traditional sense. We think about corn or soybeans, but I've heard you mention several times today algae and other forms of bio. How real is that? I mean, is it possible that that algae could help replace and fill that gap?
Yeah, algae is one of the most efficient pieces of vegetation, most efficient mechanisms to turn sunlight and CO2 into fat. Algae is about 30% lipids, 30% oil, and it's a matter of trying to figure out how to effectively find the right plant strains that grow rapidly and can be harvested and the oil can be extracted. That is a real thing, but it is a long-term thing. It's not going to help. It's not going to help us right now. It may provide some significant volumes 10 years from now.
How has Brazil done this? I mean, I know Brazil is now in 10 years become an energy independent nation that way, and they're actually exporting biofuels. How is it that a nation like Brazil can do that in 10 years? In the United States, we're hearing, you know, today we wouldn't even be able to make a dent.
Well, the thing about Brazil is that they are a very big country, very huge agricultural country. They have a huge, huge mass of land for agricultural.
More than we have in the States.
Well, it's similar to what we have in the States. Maybe not more, but they have a huge mass of land, but a lot fewer people and a lot smaller economy. They grow sugarcane down there because their climate and their soil and their agronomic processes are set up for sugarcane, and sugarcane can be very easily converted into ethanol. And so that's why they have a very successful ethanol industry, and they have a government policy that supports it.
Got it.
Well, all right, gentlemen, that's great, and thank you for that call. That was very, a very good question as well, and I'm still amazed with the algae, Joe. I mean, I'm really amazed with that, and I'm assuming that's, I mean, we don't know how soon or how far in the future, but it is in
development, absolutely.
That's good. That's great. Well, we're coming to the end of this hour. We're going to be rejoining you after the top of the hour. Got Joe Jobe and also Michael Peterson in the house with us. We appreciate all of your calls, and we will be back with you after the top of the hour. Our number here is 615-292-6366 if you want to talk to these two great gentlemen. And also, you can email us at onair@davenemo.com. I'm just a backsliding fool. I wanna drink from your loving cup. Swear I'll never give you up. Stealing all your kisses underneath the moon. I wanna lie here close to you. Look, what do you make me do? Darling, you're the reason why I drink, swear, steal, and lie. Last night finally face the fact that I am hooked on you. There's nothing more that I can do. Ain't no use. 'Cause every time I see your angel face, my halo disappears without its rings, I swear. Girl, I admit I haven't got a prayer, but I don't. I know this ain't exactly how I was raised, but heaven help me, honey, I ain't changing my ways. I wanna drink from your loving cup, swear I'll never give you up, steal all your kisses underneath the moon. I wanna lie here close to you. Look, what do you make me do? Darling, you're the reason why I drink, swear, steal, and lie. Where's